and welcome to this new session of Memcast. We're delighted to be joined today by Dr. Rajendra, consultant cardiologist at Glenfield Hospital. He's going to tell us all about TAVIs today. Hello, Dr. Raj.
Hi, Christina. Lovely to see you and many, many thanks. And I heard that this is a very popular podcast and I'm glad to be invited and grateful and feel privileged to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. We try our best.
So let's go ahead into the wild and wonderful world of TAVI. We'll start off with saying what exactly TAVI is. TAVI stands for transcatheter aortic valve implantation. Yeah. Americans like to call it TAVR, which is transcatheter aortic valve replacement. But before we go any further, I think it is ideal and it is timely that we pay homage to the doyen and who is called the father of TAVI, the person that performed the first TAVI, Professor Alan Cribriere, who sadly passed away last week. So I suppose it marks 22 years since the first TAVI that he and his team performed. It'd be interesting to note that this was performed as a humanitarian procedure in a patient who was very sick, critical aortic stenosis, and had no other options, and had this transcatheter balloon expandable valve, which is the first one, which he handcrafted a valve mounted on a balloon and just deployed it, and the patient went on to survive and live quite a few months. So it was successful and it was the world's first and was published in Circulation Journal in 2002. And he passed away last week. So I think we pay homage and we carry on.
Of course.
Fantastic. So from that day onwards, there have been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of TAVI. And TAVI is an increasingly performed procedure, a much safer procedure than what it was 2002. So in the last 22 years, technology has leapfrogged into what it is now. And it indeed is something that I personally enjoy because of the benefit that it gives and its instant benefit that you can see in a majority of the patients straight away.
So that takes us to our next question. What are the indications for TAVI?
Right. So we know that aortic stenosis is the commonest acquired degenerative valve disease, and severe aortic stenosis, when it becomes symptomatic, has a prognosis that is worse than many of the leading cancers put together. Now, I say this with a great deal of profoundness. Now, you know, once aortic stenosis starts to give symptoms, and the symptoms are not huge in number, there are pretty much three in number. The commonest one is breathlessness, number two, chest pain, and number three, syncope or blackouts. So essentially, once anybody that is diagnosed with severe symptomatic aortic stenosis, so 20 years ago, they had to be a surgically declined patient with very high risks, and these were the patients that were tried on for TAVI initially. So you can imagine this is the commonest acquired heart disease. Of course, if there are congenitally bicuspid aortic valve, they go in for severe stenosis or regurgitation much earlier in life, but the commonest valve condition is aortic stenosis, usually is acquired degenerative because of calcium deposition. There is no medical treatment that can treat this. There is no chelating agents. There's nothing that can reverse this process. So the only option, say more than a couple of decades ago, was surgery. And surgery is open heart surgery. Yes, there have been advancements in surgery in terms of minimally invasive surgeries, but surgical procedure, open heart surgery, going on a bypass heart-lung machine has its own risks. It has the associated risk of being in ICU, recovering in ICU, mobilization, etc., etc., etc. So surgical aortic valve replacement, or SAVR as it is called, is the only option that was there. Otherwise, people were condemned for medical management. And medical management, we know, is pretty poor in terms of symptoms, as I've already said. It's worse than many of the cancers put together. The outcome in terms of studies suggests that less than 50% of the people survive once they start getting symptoms in about a year's time. So it's a rapidly aggressive, progressive condition, and treatment is must. No medical treatment, surgical or nothing it was. Now there is option of TAVI. So patients who were declined for surgery were candidates for whatever reason. And the major reasons why patients get declined for surgery is one, advanced age and frailty. Number two, comorbidities like associated lung conditions or neurological conditions, anything that would preclude them to have open heart surgery or general anesthesia. So this was the first indication. Surgical decline, severe symptomatic aortic stenosis. Now, obviously these are very high risk patients, and as we've seen in the last two decades, the scope for TAVI is increasing. There have been multiple randomized controlled studies that have shown that TAVI is non-inferior to surgery in not just high risk patients, but also moderate, and the latest evidence suggests that even in low risk patients. But obviously this is a technology that has been there for 20 years, much less than what the surgical experience is. So therefore, I fondly recall reading a paper in 2013 that was titled TAVI, Hype or Hope. Obviously, we have the accolade of doing the first TAVI in UK by Professor Jan Kovac in 2007 in Glenfield. So we are quite fortunate for having had the longest experience in TAVI right from its birth in UK. And we have to be careful of not expanding the indications, but we also have to include the patients that are surgically declined, that are now at moderate risk, and we don't know, and it's very likely that we are also going to be doing TAVIs in low risk patients once evidence builds up for it. So it's an expanding field, and I think it's more of a hope now than hype, because the hype is behind us and we are well established into a treatment that is very effective. That the initial, I remember the first randomized control, one of the first randomized control studies, partner study, showed that you just need to treat 5 patients to prevent one death. So the number needed to treat is 5. That is amazing. So this is a very effective treatment that is minimally invasive, or less invasive. It's all percutaneous. There is no long ICU care involved. In fact, the technology has advanced so much that we now do TAVIs in quite significant numbers here at Glenfield. A TAVI takes about an hour time from the ward to going back to the ward. People get mobilized the same day. They're looking at getting discharged within 24 hours or earlier indeed. And the complication rates are coming down. So TAVI is definitely something of a hope and not just a hype. And there are thousands of patients waiting or eligible for this in UK, and the numbers are increasing.
Great, thank you. And would there be any patients that you would turn down for TAVI, or any contraindications to having a TAVI?
Very good question. Like we said, symptomatic severe aortic stenosis. Currently, we have a heart team that involves radiologists, interventional cardiologists, geriatric medicine specialists, cardiac surgeons, imaging consultants. So we have a fantastic heart team, and we go through every patient in multidisciplinary team meetings to look at the suitability. And your question is very valid. Let's just understand what are the access points for TAVI. The safest and the commonest one that we do is transfemoral. So obviously we have to look at not just the heart, the valve, the annulus, but also the peripheral vasculature. So anybody that is eligible for a transfemoral TAVI, i.e. they are eligible in terms of the nature of the iliofemoral vessels, the aorta, for us to be able to negotiate a valve through that. As I said, the technology is advanced and we are getting smaller and smaller holes in the groins, 14 French at the minimum now, to deploy majority of the valves. And these are done percutaneously, so there is no surgical input involved. We do a percutaneous puncture and a percutaneous closure at the end. So obviously, a transfemoral TAVI is the one that is performed commonest. We have other routes of access as well. We have subclavian access, transaxillary access, we have transaortic access, we have transcarotid access, we also have a transvena cable access. So there are various different ways of doing it. So we look at, one, is the patient suitable for it, and is the patient suitable both clinically and from a radiological perspective. Interestingly, there are some patients that are not symptomatic with severe aortic stenosis. So it's again comes down to the assessment by the heart team and looking at them clinically as well. So we have various variety of tests to look at it. One test or one modality of measuring their frailty is the validated clinical frailty score. And this I find very interesting and very correlating as well, that you look at the patient in terms of their frailty, not just the aortic stenosis, and you put the patient and their clinical features and their investigations together, and you see what benefit is this. Although it is less invasive, it is certainly an invasive procedure. So we have to match the procedure to the person and not just the aortic stenosis.
And it's all discussed in an MDT.
Absolutely. Exercise. Yeah. So every patient goes through an MDT. So for example, if I could give you how the patient flow comes on, it's usually picked up by the general practitioner or by a healthcare practitioner and gets referred. And the patient will have to have certain tests. Obviously, an echocardiogram is the basic minimum test, which tells us that the aortic stenosis is severe. From there on, they get the clinical assessment done. If they are above 75 years and over, currently as per the ESC guidelines, they automatically qualify for a TAVI. Anybody 75 and under would still be a surgical aortic valve replacement candidate, and they would need to see a surgeon. And we are currently doing some work about limiting the access to a single point so that patients don't wait around for decisions either way. So I think this is a good move, and people all over are going towards a single access point to delineate where the patient goes to a surgical referral or a TAVI referral or an MDT with a combined heart team to see which procedure would suit the patient best. So we do a MDT and then we take it from there. And also they will need a CT scan after or before an MDT to assess the annular measurements, which is what we base our sizing of the valves, and then the peripheral access as well.
And to conclude, Dr. Raj, so when you get a referral for a TAVI,
yep,
what would you want included in that referral?
Fantastic. What we want is the symptoms the patient's having. As I mentioned, their frailty score, if they're elderly, a clinical frailty score would be of extreme importance and usefulness. And some imaging, which is essentially a CT scan. So all of this put together, a heart team meeting would give us a good idea of whether this patient would be suitable for a TAVI. Of course, us seeing the patient face-to-face is the last step, I would say, before we put the patient on for a TAVI procedure.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today and giving us this excellent talk. And I hope it's been useful for all of you guys when you see a patient with severe aortic stenosis. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Christina. Think severe aortic stenosis, symptomatic. Think TAVI.
Yes.
If it's appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.